And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. Now I should be joined on the line by Tina Leonard. Good morning to Tina.
Good morning, Debbie.
How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. And I really thought that your interview there with Laura was just fantastic. Laura's really wonderful. And I hope that, I'm sure your listeners got an awful lot out of that.
I'm sure they did. As you said, she was wonderful. And, you know, really, I said to Laura, I didn't know people as young as that could, you know, develop Alzheimer's dementia, and didn't know much about the different. I didn't realise there were so many different forms of dementia as well.
Yeah.
So, Tina, you're involved with the Alzheimer's Society. You're head of advocacy and public affairs. Tell us a little bit about early symptoms. I know Laura talked about her own mother's symptoms, but what is kind of the main early symptoms of dementia?
Yeah, there are lots of different symptoms, and I suppose the first and really important thing to say is that it can be different for everybody. You know, there's a phrase that we use, and it's when you meet one person with dementia, you meet one person with dementia. Mm-hmm. Because there's, you know, I can speak in general terms, but everyone's experience is going to be different. So when we say dementia, which of course is an umbrella term, as you know, covering all the different types of dementia, and Alzheimer's is the most common, but it describes a range of conditions that cause damage to the brain, physical damage in the brain, and the damage affects memory and thinking and language and ability to perform everyday tasks. So it affects functioning. So often what people might initially find is that aspects of their memory change, or issues to do with time and space. Perhaps there's confusion, even some agitation. Depression can be linked to dementia as well. And down the line, you know, there can be physical decline later in terms of swallow, for example, and a number of other things. So there's loads of different elements to it. I think people generally think about memory, don't they, when they think about Alzheimer's and dementia, that someone not remembering who somebody is. Not being able to recognise somebody or knowing who somebody is doesn't happen from day one. You know, this is a progressive illness. Mm-hmm. When people, as is happening now, are diagnosed at an earlier stage or sooner into the progression, which is much better, by the way, because you can access treatments and services sooner and stay well for longer. You know, there's still a lot of ability and capacity there with the right supports. But because there is ultimately, right now, no cure, you know, the illness will progress over time. Although having said that, doing things like staying involved in the community, exercising, eating well, there's medication that is useful in about a third of cases. Therapies like using cognitive behavioural or cognitive stimulation therapies to devise strategies to get through the day. Things like that can really have a positive impact on people, you know. So we hear from, you know, to give you one example of a woman who was diagnosed who went home then and was pretty much down and depressed for the first year and sat at home doing nothing, thinking my life is over. And people often think that, and that's to do with the negative stereotype. But then she started getting involved in research, started getting involved in work we were doing, uses strategies to get through the day. And very simple things, I'm talking about writing things down, for example, because if you're not able to remember where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do, or who you just spoke to, or who called earlier than you have to call back, you have to write absolutely everything down, and use diaries in a way to that the diary is your memory or the diary is your brain, so you're using that as well. And people find that very, very useful. Mm. And it sounds so simple, and it is, as well as having reminders and tips, you know, signed up over your house. And things like that can really make a difference, rather than just, you know, assuming that you can't, you can't live as full a life as you might want to, especially in the earlier stages, you know. So it's about staying involved, you know. And there's been really interesting studies showing that staying involved is as good, you know, or almost as good as medication. And we know that ourselves from, you know, when you're with people and in company and talk, chatting to friends and going to the bridge club and the golf club and whatever it is in the cafe, that's so good for everybody's health. And it's the same with someone with dementia.
And I see, we're saying like there is no cure for, at the moment anyway, for Alzheimer's. Is there any preventative things we can do to slow it down or to probably, I suppose, not get us, but you know, you're saying been involved with people. I think maybe, you know, that is one of the things that we should do throughout our life, you know, be more active, be out there, be involved, you know, not be on your own as much, because people who are lonely, you know, would they be tend more to develop, if a person's living alone and they don't see people probably from one end of the day to the other, is it, you know, are they more susceptible to be getting this or... does that make a difference?
Well, being alone and not interacting with people isn't good. It isn't good for anybody, because it's not going to be good for your mental health, you know, and your mood and all of those things. In terms of risks when it comes to, you know, health risks when it comes to Alzheimer's and dementia, there are some. So age is the biggest risk factor, in fact. Now, you did mention earlier, you know, about younger people. And yes, there are 4,000 people under the age of 65. But the risk of somebody getting dementia increases with age. And we hope we all will live as long as possible. So age becomes a real risk factor. Genetics are in there to a small extent. So with Alzheimer's, it's only about 1%. So there's a familial aspect in a small number of cases. But then all the other, the studies that have been done on risks are all the usual things that we think about with any physical illness. So it's about having a healthy heart, about eating well, exercising, you know, obesity is going to be a risk, drinking a lot, smoking, all risk factors that we can do something about, because we can reduce those and live in a healthy way. And what you said there comes into it as well too, and it's about keeping the brain active, so building up a cognitive reserve, you might say. So, I mean, if you think about it, if you've got a really strong, you know, muscly arms and legs and a strong physical body, you think, oh, I'm strong, I'm going to ward against, you know, diseases. It's the exact same in the brain. You've got a strong strong brain muscles that you're using and have been using throughout your life to think and to learn and to stay engaged. And that has been shown that cognitive reserve can actually protect against onset, or at least delay onset. So it's about being fit in mind and in body. And that's from a general population point of view. So I can't say, obviously, to one particular person, if you do all of that, nothing's going to happen to you. Yeah. Same with any illness, isn't it? But you may as well give yourself the best shot. So all of those things are very important. And there's some vascular dementia people are probably familiar with. Vascular dementia is very much linked to heart and stroke. You know, so that's very important in terms of that form of dementia as well, the sort of heart health and all the you know, cardiovascular health and all the things we know that go along with that in terms of
staying healthy.
So that's
keeping healthy and eating well,
so it's the same as for anything. I mean, you were saying, Debbie, there that there isn't a cure, and that is true, but nonetheless, I think, you know, long ago, and people in the medical profession, you know, might have adopted an attitude where, well, there's no cure, so, you know, just leave these people alone and what will we do and don't bother diagnosing. But it's very different now, and it's very important that if somebody is listening who's worried about themselves or a loved one, that they do go to their doctor and get checked out, because... you know, when you're diagnosed at an earlier stage, being able then to engage with therapy, stay involved, plan for the future, access medication if it suits in your case, all of those things will help you stay well for longer and can delay progression. So that's really, really important. And also, you know, good news is that there is a wave there's a wave of something happening around the world, really, because the G8 and now G7 countries came together at the end of 2013 and had this big dementia summit, and out of that grew a dementia council, and this worldwide council brings all these big countries together and their financial resources, and they've said, listen, we need to pool our resources together and look for treatments and cure. So they have actually given themselves a target of 2025 to look for decent treatments and cures.
Right, hopefully.
And if we reach that, Wouldn't that be amazing? So there's a lot happening. There's more money being put into research. Even in Ireland, an extra €3 million was put into dementia research. Now we could do with a lot more, of course, but that's a good start. So there is a lot happening worldwide because people finally are talking about dementia and talking about Alzheimer's and talking about vascular dementia and all the different types, and realising that this is a massive community issue. You know, we're looking at 48,000 people now. You know the numbers. And this is set to treble in a generation if we can't do something about that. So it's a very big community issue, and the majority of people actually with dementia live in the community. So it's something for all of us, for our own families, our neighbours, our friends, to know that there are people in the community with a diagnosis and family members like Laura who need our support, you know.
And it's great that there is family members out there caring for their parents or brother or sister.
Listen, I'll tell you how great it is, because it's the family members who are caring are doing the most amazing job. Mm. And if you want to put a price on it, although you almost can't, it's almost bigger than putting a price on it, but work was done on the cost of dementia to Ireland, and the cost was put at 1.9 billion. And almost half of that, 48%, so just about half of the cost was attributed to informal family care. Isn't that amazing? You know, if you wanted to put a cost on it, except these are family members, spouses, daughters, sons, who out of love, you know, are giving the most incredible care. And that's why it's so important that both the family members and the person with dementia can also access as many supports as they can to stay in the community and stay well in the community for as long as they can.
And we have to think of the carers, because they need a break too, and they need to be looked after as well. But Tina, we could go talk for ages about this, but we have to finish up now. But listen, it was brilliant. It was great talking to Laura and talking about her own story and to yourself.
Absolutely.
But for people who are listening in today and they might have been diagnosed, I mean, there, as you said, there's loads out there now, and you can get involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not the diagnosis that, you know, you got years ago and you were left. There is so much help out there now. Would you like to give the phone number out, or
Absolutely. Address? So our helpline is open Monday to Saturday, 6 days a week, and it's 1800 341 341, and call just for a chat if someone wants a listening ear, or call to find out what services are in your area, because we have, you know, day centres, we've respite centres, we have Alzheimer's cafes, social clubs, we have dementia advisors, we have care support groups, we've care training, we've all sorts of things. And I really hope that somebody, if there's anybody listening today who hasn't plugged into any services like that and needs a bit of support, then call 1800 341 341 and see how we can help and just make your life that little bit easier, which is certainly how we would want it to be.
Great. And what times is that, from Monday to Saturday?
It is, absolutely. It's Monday to Saturday, so it's 10 to 5 Monday to Friday, and then 10 to 4 on a Saturday.
Great. Okay. And the web address is?
The web address is alzheimer.ie, so www.alzheimer.ie. So there's all the information there as well, about what is dementia and signs and symptoms and all of that, but also about our services. And as you heard Laura there, I mean, Laura's part of our Dementia Carers Campaign Network. We also have a dementia working group comprising people with dementia who are great advocates. So we have these advocacy groups, and if people want to get involved and speak up themselves, and given we're coming up to a general election, we'll be asking, you know, for the government to do more, then, you know, they can contact us through the website, or the number, the helpline number as well.
And as Laura mentioned, there is groups that meet up, coffee shops and all, and there
absolutely.
Is a lot out there to help carers as well as people who are having
that's
dementia.
It, and the cafes and social clubs are great because it's for someone with dementia and a carer, and you're just with a group of like-minded people, and it's a social event, and it's, you know, a safe, secure place. You might learn something, you might have a bun and a cup of tea as well, or a social outing if it's a social club, and they're just really lovely. So I'd urge anyone to find out what's the nearest to you and when you can go.
Great, thanks for talking to us, Tina, today on Lifeline, and
my
we'll
pleasure.
Talk again very soon. Okay,
sure. Okay,
thank you,
thanks
Tina.
A million.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.